me and say, this is my Bible. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, so we're going to jump right into it. You can go to Matthew, the 18th chapter. I'll be there in just a moment. And so we are in our second part of a mini-series entitled The Power of Prayer. In the first part, we kind of introduced really the definition of prayer, what prayer is. Prayer is communication with God. And then we talked about the two things that were necessary to satisfy the law of prayer. And so that was that, you know, that it must be his will and that it must be spoken. And we understand that his will is his word. And so the Bible says this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that he hears us. And not only does he hear us, but he grants every petition. And so we understand that we have to pray the will, his will, and his will is his word. Everybody say his will is his word. All right, so now on tonight, I want to jump into the six types of prayer that we find in the Word of God. I want to jump into the six types of prayer. You may or you may not know that there are different types of prayer. And when you see different scriptures, you know, what the Bible says when you pray, pray this way. What the Bible says when you pray, pray that way. And so I want to kind of just break these down for you. They're very simple, and they make a lot of sense. And I believe at the end, you're just going to be appreciative that you've heard and understood the different types of prayer. So the first prayer that we're going to talk about, probably one of the most talked about prayers in the Bible, is the prayer of agreement. The prayer of agreement. And this is simply when two or more people are involved and believing for a specific thing, all right? You know, you're believing God for a job. You get with somebody and says, hey, I need you to get in agreement with me, right? And so then when they get, you know, so if someone tells me, Pastor, I need you to get in agreement with me, you know, I may ask some specific questions. You got it? You know, and so, you know, well, is there anything you want me to know? Is there anything specific you want me to believe in for? You know, are you trying to stay in a certain field? Are you trying to make sure you make a certain amount of money? And, you know, of course, you only want the people to tell you what they want to tell you. But when you're praying the prayer of agreement, the key is that you have to be in total agreement with what it is that they are believing for. Not with what you hope happens for them, but with what they are believing for. Matthew, the 18th chapter and the 19th verse. Again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So we know, of course, this is Jesus talking. If you are flipping through a Bible, it's in red. And so he says, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. And so when you understand the prayer of agreement, you absolutely must be on the same page when using the prayer of agreement. I have had members come to me and you know, even about loved ones or friends or somebody that passed away and they were ill or had a health challenge and those kind of things. And, you know, they said, well, you know, Pastor, they were just saying they just ready to go on home. But I told them, no, I'm praying you shall live and not die. And I'm getting in agreement. And I'm like, you weren't really in agreement because that's not what they were praying for. You got it. You know, and, you know, if someone has a health challenge and you're praying for their healing and they're just praying to be out of pain, that's two totally different things. You got it? Because the believer does have a right to go to heaven. The Bible teaches us that. So whenever you are believing with someone for their prayer, whenever you are believing with someone, their prayers take precedent with God because he is not going to violate their free will. Does that make sense? So I have to understand that when I get in agreement with someone, I'm getting in agreement with them for a specific thing for the desires of their heart. Because, you know, sometimes when you want things for people, you know, you say, oh, okay, that's good, but we ought to pray this and we ought to add this, but it has to be according to their faith. So I'm really just linking my faith up with theirs for the thing that they're believing for. Sometimes when I pray for people, you know, that's exactly what I'll pray. Father, you know, I release my faith with theirs. you know, for what they're believing for that you will give them the very desires of their heart. You know, because when I'm praying and when I'm agreeing, I'm agreeing with what they want, not with what I want them to have. So really, when I'm praying the prayer of agreement, and I'm standing in faith with somebody else, has nothing to do with my hopes and desires, has everything to do with what they're believing for. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's number one. That is the prayer of agreement. All right, everybody say number two. All right, number two is the prayer of binding and loosing. The prayer of binding and loosing. Some of you may have heard about this. Some of you may haven't, but you're going to understand it real good because Matthew 18 and 18, so you're in the same chapter. Just go up one verse. He says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And when he begins to talk about that, he's saying whatever you declare to be unlawful in the earth is what has to already be unlawful in heaven. And whatever you declare to be lawful in the earth is what has to already be lawful in heaven. All right? So if I'm in the earth and I'm praying for a specific thing, it has to be what's already done in heaven. All right? So we know that sickness is already unlawful in heaven, so therefore we can declare sickness to be unlawful in the earth. We know that lack is unlawful in heaven, so we can declare for it to be unlawful in the earth. Does that make sense? And so we have to make sure that we're praying what is already in heaven. You know, first of all, when we begin to understand the scripture and understand the prayer of binding and loosing, we see that we have authority here on this earth by virtue of our covenant right with Jesus Christ. Because of everything that Jesus has done for us on Calvary, He's given us so many things. Of course, we've got his blood, we've got his name, we've got his power. You got it. And so, therefore, he has given us his authority. And so, therefore, we are to walk in the authority that he has given us. But watch this: the authority that we walk in is his authority, based on what is already, lawful in heaven or unlawful in heaven. Does that make sense? All right. Secondly, we notice, I'm kind of already told you, but I'll follow my notes. Secondly, we notice the direction we are to go in. The action starts here on earth. And that just makes sense. So I'm praying on earth. I'm believing for a certain thing. And then when I pray, if I'm rebuking, it better be something that is being rebuked in heaven. You got it? Devil, demon, sickness, those kind of things. All right. And so the natural process of my prayer and everything, it starts here, in this earth, on the earth. And so I have to pray according to his word, all right? I've got to pray according to his word. Even though we're going to go through the different types of prayers, you're going to see that all the laws are still the same. And every type of prayer still has to be according to his will, and those kind of things. And so I have to be, you pray according to his word. I cannot bind the New England Patriots to lose in Jesus' name. I can't do that. You got it. I can't. Now, they have been losing. I don't know what that has anything to do with, but I can't do that. You got it? Because that has nothing to do with heaven. Does that make sense? Yeah. Now, what I can do is I can pray for protection for the players. You got it? And things like that. But how many know God didn't have anything to do with who goes to the Super Bowl? I wish he did, because I got a strong prayer life and I could probably get my team there, praise the Lord. Because at this point, that's what it's going to take. So, but that's okay. My confession hasn't changed. We are going to the Super Bowl, all right? And so I have to pray according to his will. So I can bind, you can bind foul spirits that are at work in people's lives. You can loose angelic spirits to go to work on behalf, of people or something that you need based on the promises of God that we already see in the Word of God. Does that make sense? And so we just have to make sure that we understand. And so number one, we've got the prayer of agreement. When I get in agreement with someone, it's got to be for a specific thing based on what they're praying for, what they're believing for. So I don't try to, I don't try to jump in the driver's seat when I'm praying the prayer of agreement with somebody. I'm in the passenger seat. I'm riding with you. I'm believing with you. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm going to stick with you all the way to the end. But it's based on what you're believing for. Prayer binding and loosing, that's... whatever's lawful in heaven, then it's okay for me to make it lawful in earth. Whatever's unlawful in the heaven has to be unlawful in the earth. So that's the second one, the prayer of binding and loosing. All right, everybody say number three. Okay, number three is the prayer of faith, also known as the prayer of petition. The prayer of faith, also known as the prayer of petition. The Bible talks, I'm going to give you a couple, but the Bible talks about how you can call for the elders of the church, they can lay hands on you, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. But watch this, it is the Lord that raises them up. Does that make sense? So how many know we don't raise anybody up? The Bible says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. Well, what is it that caused God to get in the midst to raise them up? The prayer of faith, all right? Because you have to understand something, that prayer doesn't make faith work, but faith makes prayer work. All right? And so that is why when we pray, we must pray in faith. We must pray in faith. Mark the 11th chapter in the 24th verse, so the prayer of faith, or also known as the prayer of petition, this is when you're asking God for a particular outcome. Mark 11 and 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, watch this, believe that you receive them, and what's going to happen? You shall have them, right? And so he says that I have to believe that I receive the moment that I pray. So the moment that I pray for, you know, for healing in my body, I believe I receive, boom, I have received my healing right there. It doesn't matter, you know, I'm believing by faith that my healing is manifesting right now. But if I don't feel anything change, it's okay, because I'm not moved by my feelings, I'm moved by my faith. Right? So I believe I receive the moment that I pray. The rule to consider here is the writer says when you pray and not after you pray. All right? So, you know, so not when you feel something or when you don't feel something. No, it has nothing to do with the sense realm. Faith has nothing to do with the sense realm. I believe that I receive that it's already done the moment that I pray. And the moment that I pray, I know God hears me. And so therefore I know, and as long as it's according to his will, I know he's going to answer me. And the moment that I pray, I believe that there are things that are already taking place in the spirit realm that are going to show up in the natural for me. And that is the part where my faith is involved, that it keeps me going, that I'm going to stay in faith, that when quitting is not an option, victory is inevitable, right? That I'm winning even when it looks like I'm losing. That weapons may form, but they won't prosper. That I might bend, but I'm not going to break, right? So if I stay in the fight, what's going to happen? I'm going to win. If I keep swinging, what's going to happen? I'm going to hit something. And so, you know, you have to do that. I had a member walk up to me the other Sunday. And at first it caught me off guard, and he was smiling. He's like, Pastor, I hit it. I hit something, right? And I'm like, you hit something? You know, because I'm thinking you hit a car or something, you know. And he's like, you said, if you keep swinging, he said, you know, it's been a long time. We've been swinging, and but Pastor, when I tell you we hit something, and we hit it right, you know. But because he stayed in faith. Because he didn't give up. You got it? And so that's the key. And so the rule to consider is when you pray, not after you pray. So I'm not going to pray and then feel my body and see if it's better, and then I believe. No. I believe I receive the moment that I pray, not based on feelings, but based on my faith in God and his word, that he's a God that cannot lie and he will not change. All right? So the moment I pray, I believe I receive. God is a present tense God. All right. He does not operate in the past, nor does he operate in the future. He operates in the nowness of our life. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. But I'm reading KJV. So let me read this. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things that we hope for. We have three vehicles. Two of our vehicles we own. All right. Like when I mean own means that we don't pay on them like they're ours. All right. So if I walked in here tonight, I should have brought one of my titles with me and showed you the title deed to my car. What does that tell you? That the car belongs to me, right? You don't even need to see the car, right? Because you see the title that says, no. That car belongs to James Edward McIver Jr. Well, you got to understand that faith is the title deed. All right, let's keep going. The title deed of the things that we hope for, being proof of the things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So I'm not moved by what I see. Faith is like a ladder. It takes you from where you are to where you need to be, okay? And so what happens is the moment that I pray in faith, I believe that I receive that it is already mine, as if the title deed is already in my hands. Like my faith is my title deed. You got it? And so as long as I believe, then it is mine. All right? When you pray in faith, God does what? Immediately gives you what you pray for in the spirit realm. But in the natural world, due to a number of factors, it may take time for the answer to manifest. All right? You know, if you were to call your broker and tell your broker to sell 100 shares of stock, even though he sells it in that moment, in the moment you tell him to, how many know you don't see the money right away? Right? He could tell you, I sold them, money's already yours, you know, but you know, you used to get the check in the mail in 5 to 7 business days, all right? Well, that it already belongs to you even though you did not get it yet. Why? Because there's the natural process. They got to cut the check. They've got to put it in the envelope. They got to put a stamp on it. They got to put it in the mail. It's got to go to the main post office, and the main post office sends it where it's got to go, and then it gets to you. But guess what? Even though it got to you 5 days later, it was already yours. And faith works the same way. The moment that I pray, it's already mine. Even if I don't see the manifestation for 5 days or even 5 months, it was already mine the moment that I pray. And watch this. And the thing that keeps that thing going through its process is my faith. It is my faith in God's word. It is my faith in his ability. It's in my faith that he's not a man that should lie, nor the son of man that should repent. If he said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, he's going to bring it to pass. It's my faith in the faithfulness of God. It is my faith based on the resume of God, that he's always opened doors for me. He's always made ways. He's always come through. He's always healed my body. And if he did it before, he'll do it again. He's the same guy right now. He's the same guy back then. So I don't waver even when I don't see anything, because I'm winning even when it looks like I'm losing. That's good stuff right there. Isn't that right? All right. So you have to be willing to go through the process. It is your faith that brings the answer out of the spirit world into the natural world. It is my faith that's going to do that. Because people say, well, Pastor, what should I pray for? The things that God has promised in his word. That's what we pray for. You pray for the things that God has promised in his word. In his word, God promises healing. You got it. He promises salvation because Jesus came. He promises healing. Got it? He promises peace. He promises joy. He promises wisdom. You know, he promises deliverance. He promises so many things. And so therefore, I have to pray. If I can find it in the word of God, it is available to me. All right? And you have to be willing to go through the process, because everything about God is a process. Things don't happen overnight, but they happen over time. Now, if it happens right away, that means that it's a miracle. And we believe in miracles, and we thank God for miracles. And I've seen miracles manifest in my life. But there's a lot of times I didn't see a miracle manifest, but I saw my faith go through the process and bring it from the spirit realm to the natural realm. Does that make sense? So how many know we don't put God on a timetable? Well, God, it's got to be a miracle this time. No. I just put my faith out there. I believe God. I trust God. And I know it's going to come to pass. When walking by faith, if you're willing to wait forever, it won't take that long, right? But you have to be willing to wait forever. All right, so let's review. First prayer is the prayer of agreement, all right? Second prayer is the prayer of binding and loosing, all right? The third prayer is the prayer of faith, also known as what, class? Prayer petition. Okay, good. All right, and then number four is the prayer of consecration and dedication. Prayer of consecration and dedication. This prayer is used in the absence of direct instructions. What kind of instructions? Direct, specific instructions. When you know God wants you to do something, but you don't have specific instructions of you know God wants you to go to a certain place, but you don't have specific instructions on exactly how to get to that place, all right? You begin to pray. This is when you pray his perfect will for your life, all right? Let me help y'all. This is the only time you ever pray if it be your will. Okay? This is the only time you pray if it be your will. When you're praying for God to heal your body, you never pray, "Father, if it be your will, heal my body." No, no. Why would you pray that? We already know it's his will because we find it in his word. Does that make sense? You got it. You don't have to pray, you know, "Lord, if it be your will, give me peace in this situation." No, you don't have to pray if it be your will. We already know, you got it, that it is God's will for the peace of God that surpasses all understanding to guard my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So I don't have to do that. So you know, and sometimes, you know, people get shocked because they'll say, you know, "Well, you know, if it will pass, if it be his will." I say, "Well, it is." And they kind of look at me. Well, no, because we find it in his word. So if it's in his word, we don't have to say, "If it be your will." All right? You know, when you pray the prayer petition, you already know it's his will, because when you pray the prayer petition, you're praying the promises of God that we find in the word of God. All right? And so there are times when God will give you marching orders. All right? Like he did with Abraham. He says, "I want you to pack up. I want you to leave." And what did he say? He said, "I'll show you as you go." So he didn't give Abram at that time, specific instructions, although Abraham knew what the end result was. You got it? And so let's go to Luke, the 22nd chapter and the 41st verse. Because this is watch this. We see Jesus doing this in the Garden of Gethsemane. "And he was withdrawn from them," talking about his disciples, "about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me.'" All right? "Nevertheless," what did he say? "Not my will, but thine be done." So Jesus was saying, this is what people have to understand. Jesus understood what needed to take place. So he wasn't trying to back up on the will of the Father for all of our lives, for all of humanity. All right? So he was saying, you know, "Listen, Lord, I know what the end result needs to be. Now, if there's a way we can get to the end result without going this way, and you can remove this cup from me, but nevertheless, it's not my will, but whatever your will is in this situation." Does that make sense? And so that's what you pray. So that's happened with the church when, how many years ago was that? 8-9 years ago, the Lord says, you know, "We're going to, you know, break ground and build," probably about 10 years ago. And then we started declaring the word of the Lord and that kind of thing. And we started going down, you know, paths and these kind of things. And, there was a banker that I was pretty sure that I was supposed to deal with. All right. But I just didn't feel like I had the green light. Everything seemed good. So I prayed, "God, if this is your will for us to be with this bank," you got it, "you know, I need you to help me with it." So and when I'm saying if it's his will, you got to understand, I can't go to the scripture in Luke, John, Acts and say, "You're supposed to be with Bank of America." Y'all follow what I'm saying? So, and I'm not saying that I don't want it to happen. God, we want this to happen. The project is going to come to pass. But between here and the project coming to pass, there are certain people that we have to now be in relationship in covenant with. And we want to be in the right relationship and the right covenant with the right people. So Lord, I feel like this is the guy, you got it, and this is the bank, but Father, I need you to let me know, because it ain't my will, it's your will. So if it's your will for us to be in partnership with this bank, Father, I need you to give me the peace, I need you to give me the green light. And he did. You got it? And so it's okay to pray that prayer when you're not sure. You're not trying to back out of what God is trying to accomplish. You're just trying to make sure you go down the right road. Does that make sense? Okay, and so you know, you can let's kind of move it. Let's just say you let's use the area of jobs. All right, let's use the area of jobs. You know, you want to get another job, and so now three different new jobs. You're really not sure which one to take. So now I'm gonna go to God and say, "Lord, I need to know your will for my life concerning this." You got it. "God, I feel good about this. This particular, the one in the middle, you know how you have A, B, and C. What do they call that? Multiple choice. You know, multiple choice in school for me was just all, you know, because boy, A, it looked so good. You got, you know, A, it was so good. But then when you got to B, boy, she was fine as wine in the summertime. You got it. And then I read C, I'm like, C has got to be the one. You know, and then I just hit D, none of the above. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, but, you know, I'm thinking, you know, Lord, I think B is the right one. You got it. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to send them an email you know, saying that, you know, I'm interested, thank you for blah, blah, blah. You know, can you give me a little bit more information? Because now I'm trying to fill them out. And so, Father, if it's your will for me to have B over A and over C, then give me the peace and give me the green light. The green light is the peace, just so you know. When you have, you know, when you're going through somewhere I guess I need to hit that. Yeah, that's a good place to hit it too. I really should have hit it back at the power of agreement, but the Holy Spirit is faithful. And so what happens is we always have to wait for the green light from God. When we have the green light, we have a peace about whatever it is, the next steps that we're going to take. Don't let, and you need to hear me now, don't mistake your emotions for a green light. Because how many know when we want to do something, we're emotional, we're like, woo, I'm going to do it, yeah, I jump out. And then later, you're like, oh, man, I should never have done that. I thought I had the green light. No, you didn't have the green light. You was on an emotional high because you wanted to make it happen. You wanted the car. Until you got the bill and realized they charged me 28% interest. I didn't even ask them what the interest rate was. Does that make sense? You know, and so now I will say this for all my married couples. When it comes to agreement and peace, there is no way pastor can have peace and move forward if lady doesn't have peace. Did y'all hear me? Okay, there's no way that lady can have peace and move forward without pastor having peace. So what happens is, I'm typically the go-getter, the one that thinking this and thinking that, you know, and that kind of thing. And as it relates to, I'm talking about our personal lives. I'm not talking about church right now. That's a whole different, you know, set of, you know, it's very similar, but it's different because this is God's. Does that make sense? And so, but like, let's just say I want to do so. Let's just say I want to buy, you know, another rental property. But, oh, babe, I seen this rental property. Let's call Joe, you know, and let's get another rental property. I think I'm going to call him right now. She'll, oh, wait a minute, babe. Wait a minute, babe. No, babe, I'm telling you, I got a witness on it. No, don't lie. No, because there can be no witness if there's no witness with her. The reason I'm pointing over there is because that's normally where she sits, right? So, no. So what happens is, she says, oh, wait a minute, and puts the brakes on. How many know I can't get mad? I can't get upset. I can't start fussing her out. I can't take, well, I'm the man of the house. I can't do any of that. Can I get a? Amen. Watch this. I need to sit back and wait for her to go through her process, because she has a process, much like my process. We're going to pray together, but then we pray apart, because I talk to the Holy Spirit, she talks to the Holy Spirit, because I'm asking him all these things, she's asking him all these things. So when she comes back and says, hey, let's take the next few steps. She's not saying, yeah, we're going to do it. She's like, okay, you can go ahead and call Joe. Let's go look at the house. You know, let's get an inspection. Does that make sense? We're going through the process. Does that make sense? So she's, you know, because how do I say this? She is keeping my emotions at bay, because now she knows he's just happy. And I know him. He knows how to make anything work. So even if we get in it and found something messed up, he's going to figure out a way to fix it and make it all good in the end. But that is not how you go about it. You got it? So that has nothing to do with it. And so we go through the process. And even after we go through everything and find out, okay, this is good, you know, blah, 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 you know, then we come back together and say, okay, are we sure this is what we want to do? Are we sure we're on agreement? She says, yes. I say, yeah. You know we can afford it. We know we're going to make this much money after we put so much into the house, boom, boom, boom. And then, you know, we move forward. And watch this. Because I stayed in agreement with her and we move forward, now God's grace and favor is on it. So if we get in there and find out that we thought the roof was good and the roof wasn't good, God now raises somebody up to come over and say, you know, it didn't normally cost $10,000 to replace this roof. But and this has actually happened to me. I see what you guys do in the community. It ain't even got nothing to do with the church, but you know how that is. I'll take favor any way I can get it, though, right? So instead of $10,000, we're just going to charge you $3,000. I say, I receive in Jesus' name. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so what happens is, but it was based on the fact that we were in agreement. Does that make sense? All right. How many can imagine if you're not in agreement, it's probably not going to work that good? Isn't that right? Yeah. And we've all made mistakes before. How many? All of us, husband and wives, made mistakes. And so you know what you do if you made a mistake? You admit it and you quit it. You got it. So, you know, if you know, I've made mistakes, you know, I've not made many mistakes when it comes to, you know, stocks and those kind of things. But I messed up one time, didn't really check with lady like I should, you know. And so, you know what I did? I apologized. I took full responsibility. I said, whatever you need me to do to make it right. course, you know, she's very loving. She said, "Babe, don't worry about it." You know, because it wasn't bill money. You know, because I ain't foolish. You understand what I'm saying? And so, but I just said, I don't want to get into it. But in February, when we teach, we're going to teach together on relationships. And we have this thing that we're going to hand out that we handed out many years ago. And it's never again and from now on. Some of y'all might remember it. So I would tell her, never again will I go and buy stock without you. From now on, I will come to you. I will show it to you. I'll talk to you. You understand what I'm saying? And so we have to have a lot of those never again and from now on's in our lives. Does that make sense? All right, y'all getting blessed? I'm giving y'all a little bit of everything in here. This is good. Okay, so let's go to number five. Number five, the prayer of praise, worship, and thanksgiving. In this prayer, you are not asking for a specific thing or for specific direction. I love this prayer. I absolutely love this prayer because this prayer is all about me just going to God and giving him glory and thanking him for his goodness, for his grace, and all the things that he's done. I know he's going to do more, and I know he wants to do more, but at this time, I just want to praise God and thank him for his mercy and his many blessings. Everybody say his mercy, because we all needed his mercy, right? And his many blessings, because we've seen him show up in our lives time and time again. Luke, there's so many scriptures in the Bible where you see this particular prayer. It's just all over the place. Luke 2 and 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. So they're just praising God. Luke 18 and 43, and immediately he received his sight. This is talking about the leper that came back and followed him glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, they gave praise to God. And so this is the prayer that you should pray every day, multiple times a day. You got it. When I wake up in the morning, and that's how I start. Father, I thank you that this is the day that you have made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. You got it. That's it. I'm just, I gave y'all my prayer regimen a long time ago. Is there another Tuesday night in December? I don't want to make any promises, but I gave you my prayer regimen. I have a prayer regimen that I pray. Matter of fact, I'm going to go to my prayer regimen. Y'all got time? Okay, so I'm going to go to my prayer regimen. And I'm going to explain to you how I pray. This is how I pray every day. Now, when I pray, here we go. So this is like my morning devotion, meditation type of prayer, okay? I have prayed this for so long, I don't need, like, this is my, all that. Got it? All right, so now I can't put the camera on it because, you know, I got names in it and that kind of thing, so I can't show y'all that. I think I gave y'all a rough copy one time, if I'm not mistaken, maybe a couple years ago. And so when I pray, like the first thing, come here, Pat. So the first thing that I pray as I pray 1 John 5 and 14, when I come to God, this confidence that I have, if I ask anything in your will, you hear me. And then I have different prayers I pray. What's the first prayer I pray? Yeah, so that's the first thing I pray. I pray the prayer of praise and thanksgiving. And so that is when, before I ask God for anything, I thank him because he is everything. Got it? And so I go through, he's Jehovah Makadesh, he's Jehovah Sikkenu, he's Jehovah Jireh. You know, I go through all of that. And when I'm doing that, I'm just spitting it out right now. But I'm just, when I say, I thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides, I stop and I thank him. I said, thank you for how you blessed me and my family. Thank you for the privilege, you know, that you've given us to be able to send our kids to private school and to be able to afford it. I mean, I specifically thank God because I don't take anything for granted. You got it? And so I thank God for he's provided this way. He's provided that way. You know, and I'll start thinking about the things that he's done recently for us. We were able to go on a wonderful vacation to Cabo, Las Cabo, Mexico last year. That was a serious vacation, you know. And so I'm thanking you. Thank you for being able to, you know, allow us to be able to go on something like this. I'm thanking him for everything. Then Jehovah Rofiki, you are the Lord thy God that healed thee. And I'm declaring healing over my life, over Lady, over Jay, and over Hannah. You got it? And if there's any type of health challenges any of us are dealing with, they're all labeled in here. And so I'm going through all of them, and I'm praying all those things. You got it? And then, you know, and then I'm praying. What's the last prayer, Ellen? Prayer intercession? Okay, 7:50. I'm going to be able to work intercession in a minute. Okay. And so when I pray this, I pray the prayer of thanksgiving worship, and then I pray for my family. I got all these headers. So under my family, first thing I have is I pray for my marriage. So every day I pray for my marriage, right? That Lakante and I are in complete agreement and unity, that we work together as a team, and together we are an unstoppable force, that we don't fuss, bicker, or argue, that I watch my tone when I'm speaking. Why do you say that? Because years ago, when I was talking to her, because I'm passionate, I raised my voice. I wasn't really screaming at her. You know, from my standpoint of view, you know what I'm saying? Because like my whole thing is, if I'm screaming, you're going to know I'm screaming. Like, that was not screaming. But that's the way she felt, right? So then I need to do something about that. You got it? So I had to go to God in prayer and say, God, help me. And I had to tell her, babe, I'm really not, like, of course, you know, years later, she knows that. You know what I mean? And that's not even an issue anymore in our lives. But watch this. I still kept it in there. So I still watched my tone. You got it? And so, you know, so I watched my tone when speaking. Thank you that there's an incredible level of trust that we have for one another, that we will be married together until Jesus returns. There's no strife or envy in our relationship, that we are truly in love, that there is no lack or shortages, and that we are walking in the overflow. So I'm praying, and then I go and I pray for Jay, and I pray for Hannah, that they are smart, focused, intelligent, respectful, healed, and obedient. And then I break some of those things down. You got it? And then that they are leaders and not followers, and that they always make good decisions, that they are full of wisdom, joy, and peace, that there be a hedge of protection around them, that they remain sexually pure until they become married, that they marry the right person on the first time, that they are excelling in school, and that they walk in incredible favor, that they are responsible and make the extra effort, that their future is secure and bright, that they are disciples taught of the Lord, and great is their peace and undisturbed composure. I'm saying what I want to happen in their lives. Because you have to understand, confessing is just, all you're doing is confessing the word of God. You know, talking to Jay, you know, and, you know, he's 17. He'll be a senior next year. And he came up to me about something. I said, son, you have to turn that into a confession. And I said, look, mama's praying for you and daddy's praying for you. But you old enough now, son, you got to start praying for you too. And not that he doesn't pray, but I'm saying I'm teaching him next level prayer. He prays when he goes to school. He prays before breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He prays at bedtime. But now I'm really teaching him. Now, okay, so what do you want to do when you get out of here? You got it? Because you got several options. You can go to Bible school. You got it. Come back and work with your daddy. He ain't feeling that right now. You got it? You can go to college, you know, be a full-time student. He's kind of not feeling that right now. You got it? He wants to go into the military. You know, can I go into the Marine Corps like you? Nope. So anyways, you know, but I started telling him, you know, and so we start talking about, you know, different things. And I said, listen, son, you know, at the end of the day, mom and I are going to support whatever you do. But there's a couple things I need you to understand. If you don't do anything, you live for Jesus. That's got to be the number one thing that if you live for Jesus and make a mistake, he can help you rebound from it. So you'll be okay. So if you don't just that's the first thing. You live for Jesus. You got it. And so because I know our children are going to make mistakes. But how many know we don't throw them away because they make mistakes? We're going to love them in spite of, right? Yeah. And so what happens is I'm teaching him now how to make good choices. You got it? And then how to pray the prayer of faith and add confession to what he's believing for. You know, and then teaching him the whole thing. Now say, I believe I receive in Jesus' name. I believe I receive in Jesus' name. You know, you got that deep voice. I believe I receive in Jesus' name. All right. Do you know why you just said I believe I receive in Jesus' name? Because you told me to. Okay, but hold on. We need to back up and get you to understand why you said it. And to the degree I can teach him this at a young age and he applies it in his life, he's going to live an incredible life. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so because this is what we do as adults. And it works. You got it? And so I'm trying to teach him. So I go through my prayer regimen, you know, I've got several things. I pray for healing. I pray for wisdom. You know, I pray for prosperity. And then I pray for all of my family. So I pray for the McIver, Beck, Jones, Williams, Taylor, and Scoggin family. So that's both sides, including in-laws, because we don't believe in in-law stuff. Everybody's part of the whole family. You got it? You know, my sister Debbie is married to Pat. You know, I get it by law. He's my brother-in-law. But we don't ever think, I've never thought, well, he's just my brother because he married my sister. Like, if we family, we're going to be family. You know, so I pray for all of them. You got it? And there's times, about to come back around again, where I will say, hey, if there's anything you're believing for, just let me know, because I'm about to go into a time of prayer and fasting here myself, because we're all about to go into a time of prayer and fasting in the beginning of January, all right? And so I want us to give the first 7 days to God as a first fruit, and I'll give you, and it's going to be easy where everybody can do it, and supernatural things happen when we fast and those kind of things. I'm going to teach on fasting so that, because faith comes by hearing, so you can be in expectation and those kind of things. And so, so it's just, it's real important that we do these things. Burdens are removed and yokes are destroyed when you fast. You got it. Sexual perversions are knocked off when you fast. Just all kind of supernatural things happen. So let's go to, so y'all kind of got my point. It's too much for me to tell you about. So if I have another Tuesday, I need to see if we do in December, then I'll give that to you. And if not, maybe I'll pick it up in January. All right. Are y'all getting blessed by this little mini series? Okay. So I've got 4 minutes left. Never discount the power of prayer. Okay. And when you pray, I don't care if you don't feel anything, it's still working. All right. You do not, and please don't think I'm throwing off, you know, I'm not doing that, because some people, they really feel something, and that's praise God, but you don't have to feel anything, because it's not based on feelings, it's based on faith. So I can go to God, and as long as I pray according to his word in faith, even if I don't feel anything different, it doesn't matter, because my prayer is working, and things are at that moment happening in the spirit realm that are going to manifest in the natural. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's not based on feelings. It's based on my faith. Last one, prayer of intercession. This is when we're interceding, acting in prayer for someone else. Perhaps the person is incapable of praying for themselves due to a sickness, a mental illness, or maybe they're just not walking in wisdom whatsoever. And so now I need to start interceding for them. You know, sometimes that happens with our children, with our grandchildren, or a niece or a nephew. You know, and you just know they're not making good choices. They're not making good decisions right now. And so now I've got to intercede on their behalf. And sometimes we know people are in faith fights. And when they're in faith fights, you're partly praying the prayer of agreement as well as the prayer of intercession. You got it? And so it's kind of like that. Let's go to Ephesians 1 and 15. Ephesians 1 and 15. There it is. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, and he's real excited. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And so, but he told him, I pray for you all without ceasing, all right? Philippians 1, 3, and 4, you're going to find this all throughout the scriptures, the letters that Paul wrote. Now he's writing to the church at Philippi. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy, all right? When we intercede, we're praying on the behalf of somebody else. The purest form of intercession is when you pray in the Spirit. Okay? The purest form, and we'll put Romans 8 and 26 up. The purest form of intercession is when you pray in the Spirit, because when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying the perfect will of God, all right? Romans 8 and 26 and 27, and that's what you should do in your own personal life, okay? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. The Bible didn't say we don't know how to pray. Sometimes we don't know what to pray. Sometimes there'll be a situation you really don't know what to pray for. And that's when the prayer of intercession, the praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, it's not spooky. You got it. It's a heavenly prayer language that God gives to us when we ask him, and we receive it by faith. All right. And so and if we don't do a series on it, if we don't do a series on it, we'll make sure that we use a few Tuesday nights, just like we taught on prayer, that we'll teach on Holy Spirit. You got it. And you can receive the Holy Spirit at home if you want. You can do it on your own. You can do it coming down to the altar and we just lay hands on you and say, receive. You got it. You know, we're not going to put you on the altar and we're not going to make you say, Jesus. And I say, hallelujah. Now say, Jesus, hallelujah. You know, we're not going to do that. You understand what I'm saying? No, we're going because it's received by faith. You got it? All right. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to what? The will of God. So we don't always exactly know what to pray for ourselves or someone else. But when we pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit prays the perfect will of God. So when a burden of intercession is placed on you, you need to pray right then. You need to pray when?
Right then.
The Holy Spirit has plans for you to be a conduit to help or bless someone, you got it, through your intercession for them. I think I told y'all that on Sunday. The moment somebody comes to you, you pray right away. You got it? And so, you know, so what do I do when someone comes to me? First thing I do is I begin to pray in the Spirit. And after I pray in the Spirit for a little while, then natural English words will come that I'll begin to pray for. Does that make sense? All right? So when we so praying in the Spirit is good and praying in English is good. So I'm not acting like, you know, but what I'm saying is when you don't know what to pray, praying in the Spirit is the way to go because it's God's perfect will. Does that make sense? So, you know, if some try to attack my body, this is just me. Matter of fact, I just use Hannah. Hannah said something was going on with her the other day. I mean, my kids know how I am. I'm grabbing right there. We about to pray right now. You got it? And so I prayed in the Spirit, you know, for probably 30, 45 seconds, you know. You know, when Hannah was really young, she had no idea what I was doing, you know, praying in the Spirit. And she was young. I didn't think at that age I really was going to explain it to her because she was so, I'm talking about young. She was in school, but she was young. So I don't know how it happened, and don't go say anything to her because she's like, Dad, don't talk about me. It's embarrassing. And so, I guess she must have went. Something happened in school. I don't know if it was, you know, how many people know more than one language. My dad knows more than one language because when he prays for me, he prays in Spanish and English, you know. But when we pray in English, watch this. When you're praying for someone else, praying in the Spirit is good, especially initially, because when we pray in English, our thoughts, prejudices, and fears could intervene, and we try to organize our prayer in our mind, you know. If you're not careful, you've at some point in your life prayed for someone and then maybe a thought of how they mistreated you came up. And God wants you to pray for that person, but now the enemy has distracted you from praying for that person. Does that make sense? No. How many of we pray for everybody, including our enemies? You got it? Yep. And so, but when we pray in our heavenly language, the Holy Spirit will give our own spirit the information to pray about. And then when we pray, it's in a pure, unadulterated form. Does that make sense? Well, I am out of time. Give the Lord a big hand praise in the house.